Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We're located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddroadgracechurch.com. Now, here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I'm preaching from Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to consider this subject, knowing the love of Christ. Knowing the love of Christ. Beginning in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 3, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, I know this. If I know anything, if you know anything about the love of Christ, we know this: it passes knowledge. It's infinitely more than our puny minds can grasp, and eternity itself won't be sufficient for us to ever fully enter into what the love of Christ actually is. Knowing the love of Christ. Now, the love of Christ, the love of God, they cannot be separated, cannot be understood, and is in reality a meaningless concept unless we understand something about the hatred of God. Now, the Bible says God is love. I'm thankful for that. And the Bible never says God is hate or hatred. I'm thankful for that. But the Bible does say that God hates. Now, this is something you rarely hear mentioned by a preacher, but it's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God does, in fact, hate. His hatred is a holy hatred. It's not like human hatred. It is the hatred of God. God said 2 times, one time in Malachi and one time in Romans chapter 9, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." He's speaking of an individual. I've heard people say, well, that means he loved Esau less. God doesn't love less. He's infinite. And he said, "Esau have I hated." And that's an individual that he hated. Psalm chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Now, that is a large demographic. Thou hatest all, A-double-L, all workers of iniquity. If God sees someone as a worker of iniquity, he hates that person because his hatred is a holy hatred. His wrath is a holy wrath. Psalm 11, verse 5 says, "The wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." Now, I realize that most of what goes on under the name of Christianity presents God as a God who loves all men without exception. And Christ died for all men without exception, because God loves all men without exception. And he made salvation available for all men without exception. If you just accept him as your personal Savior. If you don't, you won't be saved. Salvation is ultimately in your acceptance, and damnation is in your rejection of the Savior. Salvation is in your hands. It's up to a choice you make. Now, my dear friends, there's no truth in that. That is not the gospel. That is not the God of the Bible. Most people think, well, God loves everybody, but he's not going to violate man's will. That is not what the Bible teaches. Now, let me give you three things that are wrong about this notion that God loves everybody and wants to save everybody, and salvation is in your hands, whether you'll accept Jesus as your personal Savior or not. Number one, it's not what the Bible teaches. Somebody that preaches that message does not preach the message of the Bible. Number two, that view of the love of Christ, that view of the love of God, makes God's love meaningless. Somebody says, what do you mean by that? If God's love was for somebody that is now burning in hell, what did his love do for that person? His love is meaningless under that scenario. Although he loved that man, it didn't help that man at all. And thirdly, that view makes God evil. Now listen to me. That view of the love of God makes that God evil. Now, if my child is in great danger, and I have the power to rescue that child, and I say to that my child, you're going to be killed if you continue in that, and I love you, and I don't want that to happen to you, but I'm not going to violate your will. It's up to you as to whether or not you're going to do that. What would I get for that kind of love? Prison time. That's exactly what I get. Now, that view of the love of God makes God's love an evil thing. If he has the power to save somebody and lets them make their decision as to whether or not they'll be saved or whether or not they will not. Now, everybody God wills to save, he saves. And there will be nobody in hell that God loved. Now, I'm going to get to the love of God in a minute, but I want you to see, love is a meaningless concept without some understanding of the hatred of God, the holy, righteous hatred of God. Now, you can disagree with me if you want to, but what you're doing is saying, I disagree with the concept of God you're bringing. I don't like that God. I don't feel comfortable with that God. I know that, but this is the God of the Bible, the holy God. He has a holy hatred and a just hatred because he's holy and he's just. He's perfect. He's perfect. Now, if somebody says, I just don't see this and I don't agree with it, you have never seen the true character of God. And if you disagree with this, you've never seen your own character. Because if you have some understanding of God's holiness and your own personal sinfulness, you can understand why God would hate you and cast you off forever. If you have a true conviction, an understanding of what you are, by nature, by choice, and by practice. Now, the love of God is holy. The love of God is pure. The love of God is clean. Nothing about God's love makes sin okay. Now, somebody may ask the question, and preachers say this quite often, isn't God's love unconditional? And I've heard so many preachers talk about the love of God being unconditional. Isn't the love of God unconditional? There is no such thing as unconditional love. You and I can't love someone unconditionally, and God doesn't love anyone unconditionally. Those that God loves, He loves because they're lovely, and it's because they're united to His Son. He says to the church, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." You see, Christ has made His church lovable. They weren't in and of themselves by nature, but Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it that He might cleanse it and wash it and sanctify it and make it holy. And so when God sees any member of the church, He sees the altogether lovely Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:17 says, "As He is, so are we in this world." Now, how lovely is He? How beautiful, how perfect is He? Altogether lovely. And that is what every one of His people are in Him. You see, God's love is in Christ Jesus. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the love of God is holy. Well, doesn't God love sinners? Yes, He does. God commended His love toward us. Who's the us? Everybody Christ died for. And you don't need to think, well, what if Christ didn't die for me? Well, what if He did? I tell you this, He's never turned away anybody who's come to Him for mercy. He said, "Him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out." So don't be discouraged over this. Actually, you have to understand that if Christ died for you, you must be saved. It's because God loved you. It's because He gave you to His Son. His Son represented you. His Son put away your sins. His Son gave you His perfect righteousness, and you stand lovely before God. Now, yes, His love is for sinners. God commended His love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The us is everybody He died for. For the next verse says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son." Now, everybody that He loves has been reconciled to God by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no sin. They're perfect. Now, these are the people that God loves. Now, in and of themselves, they're nothing but sin. And they know that. But the glory of the gospel is that God makes a sinner lovely. It's called justification. When God saves someone, He justifies them. He makes them to where they're not guilty. He makes it to where they have no sin. And He doesn't love them unconditionally. He loves them as they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." The love of Christ. Now, Jeremiah 31:3 says, "Behold, I have loved you," speaking to every believer, "with an everlasting love." A love that had no beginning, a love that will have no end. "I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Everybody He loves, He draws to Himself, and everybody He loves, loves Him in return by His grace. We love Him because He first loved us. Everybody He loves, loves Him in return. The love of God in Christ Jesus is infinite. It cannot be measured. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" He's already given everything when He gave His Son. God's love, the love of Christ, is infinite. He can't love more. He can't love less. God's love is immutable. It never changes. It never grows stronger. It never cools. He said, "I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God's love is sovereign. He loves whom he will. The scripture says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He only chastens his children. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son that he receives. Jacob have I loved. Now Jacob was a sinful man. He was a deceitful man. He was a swindling man. There's so much that is a blot against his character when you read about him in the book of Genesis. But God said, Jacob have I loved. Now listen to this scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. That's his reason for his love. Somebody says, why me? Because he chose to love you. What a humbling thing. Because the Lord loved you. God loves whom he will, and the reason for his love is only found in himself. He didn't love me because of how naturally good I am or because of how I draw out his love naturally. His love for me, the reason is found in himself. And God's love, the love of Christ, is always saving. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. God's love is always saving love. I've already said this. There won't be anybody in hell that God loved. God's love is saving love. It's electing love, choosing you before the foundation of the world. It's redeeming love that made payment for all your sins. It's justifying love that causes you to be just through the work of Christ on the cross. It's life-giving love. He gives you the new birth. It is preserving love. He causes you to persevere. It's glorifying love. He's going to make you just like his son. It is saving love. Everybody that God loves, God saves. Now, somebody says, are you implying God doesn't love everybody? Well, if you've listened to the message, you know I'm not implying it. I'm saying it. But remember, God is perfect. God's love is always saving love. Now, here's what Paul prays for these people. He says, I want you to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Now, I want you to be able to comprehend this, Paul says. That word comprehend doesn't mean intellectually grasp. It means apprehend. That's the way it's translated in Philippians 3. Apprehend, to lay hold of. Now, every believer, I want us to lay hold of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Lay hold of this love is my love. Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want every believer to have that same assurance as John when he referred to himself as that disciple that Jesus loved. I want to know myself as one that is loved by God. Now, he says, I want all the saints to comprehend this. I want that may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Who are the saints? Every holy one. That's what the word means, holy one. Every believer is a saint of God, a holy one of God, separated by God, separated in eternal election, chosen to be holy, made holy by what Christ did for them, sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to where I have no sin. made holy in the new birth, when I'm given a holy nature, a heart that was not there before. That's what a saint is, a sanctified one, a holy one. Every believer is a saint. Now, he says this is what he wants the saints to comprehend or apprehend: what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now let's consider these things one at a time. To know the breadth of God's love. There is a wideness in God's love. Now, how can I illustrate this? I think I can illustrate by Peter. Peter had a hard time loving the Gentiles. It happened as a trap to him in Acts chapter 10. The Lord saved some Gentiles through his preaching. When he got back to Jerusalem, some men that were Jewish believers said, "What were you doing in the home of a Gentile?" And then he recounted what the Lord had done, and he said, "Who was I that I could withstand God?" It's almost like he's saying, "I wouldn't have done this," but he did. Why? Because there is a wideness in the love of God, unlike our narrowness. Now, we're born into this world proud people. Pride is a great sin. Pride of race, pride of face, pride of place, and amazingly, pride of grace. And God hates that pride that makes a man think that he's different than other people, better than other people, separate from other people because of his race, because of his face, because of his place, because of his religion. He thinks he is better. God hates that attitude. There's a wideness to God's mercy, and the wideness is seen in the word, "Whosoever." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, there's not going to be anybody who can say, "I came to God for mercy, and he turned me away." No one can say that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved, you've refused to call on his name. If you're not saved, you've refused to believe the gospel. You've rejected the gospel of Christ. There is a wideness to his mercy. The Lord said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason whatsoever, cast out." I don't care what your state is. I don't care how sinful you are. I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't care what your socioeconomic background is. You come to Christ as a sinner needing mercy, and he will save you. There is a wideness, a breadth to his love. And then we read of the length of his love. The length of his love is an infinite line in either direction with no breaks or pauses. It's a graph that never, it's not a graph that goes up and down. It's a line that is eternal. "Behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Now, this love never gets more. It never becomes less. An example I thought of was David. When David sinned in the matter of Bathsheba, the thing David did displeased the Lord. There wasn't anything that can justify sin, and there never is. But was David loved by the Lord any less when he committed that sin? The answer is no. Was David loved any more by the Lord when he was composing the Psalms? The answer is no. God's love, as far as the length of it, it's an eternal line going back through eternity, and it will never end. And then he speaks of the depth of God's love, or the love of Christ. Now, I realize that I'm going to be saying things that I don't fully understand, but you think of how far Christ came down. He left heaven's glory and became a man and took upon him all the limitations of a man. But the debt goes farther than that. He submitted himself to the death of the cross. He submitted himself to being made sin. He drank that cup of sin, the sins of his people. He was made sin, and he was forsaken by his Father. Oh, the depths the Lord went to out of his love to his Father and his love to his people. And look at the depths of the people he loves, such sinful individuals, such people who are transgressors and wicked. Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am the chief, though the depth of his love. And then there's the height of his love. It's seen in how high he brings his people. How high is Christ? Well, he's so high, he's in the very throne of God. And you know who's there with him? Every single one of his people. When he was ascended to glory, every one of his people ascended with him because they were in him. That is how high I am. Somebody says, you don't look that high to me. Well, I know by faith I am, though, because it says we're seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Every believer is in heaven right now as they are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of the mystery of the gospel, but it's true. Oh, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of his love, that you might know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now, I believe that he loves me. How do you know? Because I am relying only on him. I'm not looking to my works. I'm believing the gospel that he accomplished my salvation. Therefore, I know that he loves me and that I am his and that I've been loved with an everlasting love, a love that I cannot lose. Now, mysterious, yes, it passes knowledge, but what a joy. And my dear friend, if you look to Christ only as everything in your salvation, you don't look to yourself for anything, but you look to him for everything, he loves you. And you will love him in return. Now, we have this message on CD and DVD. If you email, call, write, get on the website, we'll send you this message. This is Todd Nybert.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.